brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that's above every other name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He, the Lord Jesus, He is Lord. He's above it all. And in Him, we live, we move, and we have our being. Yep. All right. It's on. It is on like Donkey Kong, as they would say back in... when would they say that? Somewhere. Somewhere back in misinformed high school days. How you guys doing out there? Oh, boy, I tell you. This last maybe even 24 hours. Incredible things. Incredible stuff. Incredible experiences going on. And in everything that's taking place, God is in control. In all of it, we continue to trust. We continue to look to the author, the finisher of our faith, knowing that He that began a good work in us will carry it on to completion. Knowing that there is no challenge that we face that is beyond the ability of God's intervention. In fact, so many of the challenges that we face, God puts us into them on purpose, because He's glorified and it serves His larger plan. You know, I was reading recently Acts 15, and here's Paul and Silas, and God sends them into, you know, they have the vision of the man of Macedonia, come over and help us. They go in, they're preaching the gospel, people are being set free, demons are being cast out. This one girl who's got a spirit of divination, they cast the demon out of the girl. And, you know, nobody cared before that these guys were preaching the gospel. But scriptures say, as soon as those guys saw that the slave girls were hers, their hope of making money was gone, then they got very religious. They grabbed these guys, they you know, went and tried to put them on trial and all this stuff, and said that these guys, that are these Jews that have come in, they're advocating stuff that's unlawful for us, they're desecrating our temple and all this, Athena, everything, right? Okay. Now, was that or was that not God's plan to put Paul and Silas in that difficult situation? Because when you look at it, and you look at what happened, and you look at what took place there, in that situation, Paul and Silas, they were just following God. God told them, okay, I want you to go over here. All right, I'll go. And they went. And they saw the miraculous hand of God at work. And all of a sudden now, in the process of doing what God had for them to do, now they're being roughed up. Now they're being tossed in jail. You know, and then their backs are ripped open by the jailer. He put their feet in the stocks. Now, if their attitude was determined by their external situation and circumstance, they would have stopped in the jail. But because their eyes were on Christ, they continued to worship God in the midst of all that was taking place. They continued to glorify Him. And as they glorified Him, and as they praised God, as they looked to the author and the finisher of their faith, and it says, the scripture says that in the middle of the night, they were praising and worshiping God in their jail. And it says that then there was an earthquake, and it shook the very foundation of the prison, and all the jail cells were opened up. All the doors were open. Not just theirs. Everybody got free. There's a principle in there, actually. You know, your freedom in Christ will lead to the freedom in others. They will see and hear in you that hope of glory, and it's going to result in others getting free. So, principle there. You keep your eyes on Christ, and God will... you know, set others free as part of that just overflow of your life and your blessing. But yeah, in that process, here's these guys, and they get thrown in jail. Now, is that uncomfortable situation part of God's plan? Yes or no? Okay. Is Jesus going to the cross? There's another uncomfortable situation. Is that part of God's plan? Yes or no? Okay, yeah. So these are things that are part of God's plan. So when we follow God, it's not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be in the natural, an ideal situation. It's not always going to fit our preconceived notion, our predetermined agenda that we might have had or formulated in our own minds. One second, guys. So that's going to be part of the thing that we've got to also deal with while we're here, is that you've got to let go of your predetermined agenda, your preconceived notion, your personal plan and purpose, you to die to self and to live in Christ. And once you do that, there's incredible freedom in that. Because basically it's like, okay, Lord, your way, not mine, every day. Your way, not mine, every day. And if that means, you know, whatever it means, it's fine. Whatever that results in is fine. However that manifests, I'm good. You know, the challenge that we so often face is because we still try to hold on to a personal agenda, a personal plan, an idea, sometimes a misconception. You know, how many people were taught incorrectly, and then off of that trying to justify the incorrect teaching that they were indoctrinated into, they go through all kinds of mental shenanigans and justifications when they just need to know what the truth is, because the truth will set you free. You know, my brother Patrick, brother in Christ, brother from another mother. You know, I remember back in our college days, we talked about some of this stuff. We just, it was like, okay, you know, what if everything that we believed was not true? Would we change? Would you change? That was the question we asked. And the thing is, would we change for the truth? And the answer is yes, because what we wanted was truth. And incidentally, since that time, a good 80% of the things that we thought were true, we found out to be things that weren't necessarily true. We just weren't taught right in some respects, in some regards. When it came to religion, when it came to the institutions of man, when it came to the things that people had a predetermined vested interest in telling you and perpetuating to you, that had nothing to do with the truth of Christ, had nothing to do with the freedom that you have in Christ, had nothing to do with the true walk of faith, but had to do with them building power unto themselves, building their institutions, keeping their lock and control on you. Listen, I don't need or want to control any of you guys. Never have, never will. Don't want it, don't need it, never ask for it. You know, God gives us an assignment here to share something with you, and we do that. And as we do that, you know, and hey, freely we receive, freely we give. We just put it out there as God gives it to us to put out there. But in this process, the result is that we've done our duty. And if it blesses you, great. If it blesses you, if it strengthens you, praise God. But, you know, we've done our part. And sometimes people don't like it. Which is a strange thing. Because, you know, if somebody doesn't like what we do here, they don't have to listen. But they come here and they listen and they don't like it. I don't, you know, where this internet police has come from, I don't know. I mean, I do know, but you know what I mean. It's their need to control. But, yeah, you know, you just, for us, what we did was God gave us something to do. That's our obedience. Success is in the obedience. It's a long-standing principle we talked about. Just you obey and you follow what God has for you to do and let that be that. The results will be in His hands. So if there's millions of people that listen to an audio, if there's 10 people, if there's one person that listens to an audio, if nobody listens to it, it's fine. If God quickened you to do it, maybe He just had you do it just for you, because He's teaching you in the process. You know, for too long, the children of God have been taught to think in worldly terms, have been taught to think like a man, rather than to let your thoughts be the same as God's, to align your thoughts with Him. Because Jesus said, as high as my thoughts, you know, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. That's what the Father said. So we want His thoughts. But in order to have His thoughts, we got to let go of our own. And in letting go of your own, there's freedom. You know, it is incredibly freeing when you can just follow what God has for you, and you just know that your accountability is to Him, and you just move forward in that. It's incredibly freeing, because now you know that He sees all, and so okay, I mean you're gonna follow Him. Now if you try to do it the right way, and you try to look a good part for the world. I mean, if you look a good part for the world, if that's a byproduct of following Christ, great. But that's not your focus. Your focus is to follow Him and let Him lay out how the rest of the stuff will be. Let Him direct. Let Him show you what your priorities are for the day. Let Him quicken you to the place where you should be investing your mind, your thoughts, your intentions, your volition. You know, also too, one of the reasons the enemy tries to get you so caught up in religion and away from true relationship with God and from being engrafted into the vine, from remaining in Christ and His words remaining in you, is because if He can break you off of your own free will from that which is real and that which is the kingdom, then He can also take you away from where your power flows from. See, when you flow in the place where your power comes from, you do things that blow the mind of the worlders, because you're flowing in the Spirit. And when you flow in the Spirit, you flow from the place where all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding, all power on heaven and on earth has been given unto Christ, and in Him you live and move and have your, you know, we live and move and have our being. You move in that place. And when you do that, the enemy doesn't have an answer. And his answer doesn't matter when he does come up with one. So what does the enemy want to do? Keep you away from that. So the battle and the onslaught is for your mind. And that's why there's so much that they try to do in that space, to control the mind, to control the thinking, control the thoughts, control the head. You know, when I used to wrestle in junior high school, I remember this. A really, really cool coach. He was an Olympian. You know, really good. And but yeah, principle he taught us was just, you know, this is in the body, but where the head goes, the body will follow. You control your opponent's head, speaking of their natural head, their entire body's going to follow that. Well, you You know, it's the same thing with the mind. You control the mind, everything else of that being is going to follow that. So, that's why the onslaught of the world is for your mind. For your mind. For your thinking. For your volition. For you. To get you away from. And I still want that power that's been put inside of you by the soul and the spirit to harvest that as a battery to create their system. So they still want that. But they want you also of your free will to plug yourself into the system. To be that battery. That willing slave. That willing participant. Is there anything in this life that you would hold dear, that you would not turn away from if God called you to for the sake of Christ? Any job, any relationship, any benefit in the world, any position that you want so badly that you just you can taste it. It's just there for you, right? You've worked hard and it's... Is there anything? Only you know the answer to that. But if the answer is yes, that there is something, then examine that. Because what Jesus has a way of doing is, he's the light, right? So the light exposes. And what will happen is, as you keep walking with him, he's going to expose that limitation. And that limitation is also the place of your regret. That limitation is also the place of your misery. That limitation is also the place of your pain. Because there's something that you have that is lording, that's taking on this position of lordship where God should be. See, you want to not have anything between that. And Jesus tested that. When the rich young ruler came up to him, he'd done a lot of good stuff. He said, okay, if you want to be perfect, go, sell everything that you got, come follow me. And why? Because he knew. The light knew. The light exposed. The guy went away sad. He went away sad because he knew. He knew for himself there was a point of limitation. You know, he loved God, but there's something he loved more. He loved God, but there's something that he had a greater commitment to. And he couldn't let it go. I mean, he could have let it go. He didn't want to let it go. And in the process of holding on to it, he held on to his limitation. In the process of holding on, he held on to that which kept him away from true life. That which kept him away from abundant life. Because, yeah, he had great wealth, great possessions in that day. And he did not want to let it go because he didn't want what he thought, which is a misunderstanding, by the way, what he thought it was to follow Christ. See, that's one of the challenges. This is where the world has got people so much, is they get you to think that following Christ is a certain thing. And then, so then you buy the narrative, which is, you know, oh, okay, you're going to be, you know, you're going to have to fly off to Timbuktu and live in a hut. And, you know, you're not going to have holidays. It's like, you know, I mean, that's, it's just, what, you know, and you're not going to get married. It's like, whatever it is. No, you know, the construct of following Christ is you lay down your life as God. So God calls you. Because first of all, it's just the way that it starts, right? So Peter, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God reveals to you who he is. God reveals to you who Christ Jesus is. That's the first thing, the revelation of who he is. Then you respond. So the many are called, but now you respond. That's the chosen are a few. You respond to the call. And as you respond to the call, you lay down your life. All of it. Look at the early disciples, the early apostles that were called. They had, they're fishermen, they're tax collectors, they had different industries, different things that they were involved with. What did they all do? Boom. Instantly left it. Got up and walked away. Left the boats, left the nets, left the tax collecting booth, left it all to follow Christ. There was no, they saw it. They knew what the truth was and they went for it. Here's what didn't happen. You know, oh Jesus, why don't you come join me in my tax collecting booth? You know, oh Jesus, why don't you come join me in cleaning the fishing nets and join me in my thing here? Why don't you come become part of my thing? No, that's not what happened. No, what happened was you go be part of Jesus' thing. If he calls you, you go. When he calls you, you respond. And if you don't, then that may be it. That may be the only chance to do that. You know, there was that one guy, he said, Jesus called him. He said, Lord, let me just go bury my father. And then I'll come follow you. Sounds like a noble thing. Let me take care of my family obligations. Let me take care of this, you know, this cultural responsibility that I have in front of me. And what did Jesus say? You know, let the dead bury the dead. There's something else going on here that's more important than your culture. There's something else going on here more important than your heritage, than your history, than your then whatever's been put forward and all the baggage of society that's been put on you. Something else going on here that's much more important. When the king passes through, listen, all bets are off. When the king passes through, whatever he says goes. When God gives you an instruction, it's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to do that thing. It's time to drop your religion and move in the relationship. You know, I mean, there was a time when with David, okay, David and his guys were being sent out, and they ate the showbread in the temple. So it's supposed to only be the priests that eat that. That was the nature that was what they had to do, and that's what they did, because they were going out doing something God instructed them to do. Sometimes there's things that are going on that you're gonna have to drop all the pretenses. You know, the guys that are walking through the fields, the disciples, and they're rubbing the heads of grain together and eating the kernels. People watching them. Why are you doing what's unlawful to do on the Sabbath day? You're harvesting grain. They're not harvesting. They're not harvesting grain. They grabbed a few kernels while they're walking. It's not a full day's work, full day's labor. Oh, but you violated our tradition. You violated our legal construct. You violated the way that we've always done things and the way that we keep a lock on you, because we watch you. We watch you to let you know when you've got out of line. We watch you to tell you when you've not met our approval. We watch you. We watch you and watch you and watch you, and then we talk about you behind your back, and then we tell you what you should be doing, and if you don't do it, we make you an outcast. Right? Isn't that the way it works? Well, what happens when you're okay with that? I mean, it's not okay, but what happens when that doesn't have an effect? What happens when you're comfortable in the wilderness? What happens when you're okay in solitary confinement, because you go into that place and you worship and praise the living God and you enjoy the counsel of the and the presence of the Holy Spirit? Like somebody like Richard Wurmbrand. What happens when the things that they try to do to you don't have the effect that they would want them to have on you? So when they put you in the inner in the inner prison and fasten your feet in the stocks, what happens when you're singing and praising God and singing hymns unto God? Well, what they're doing doesn't work, and you leave space for God to work. I'll say that again. What they're doing doesn't work, and you're leaving space for God to work. For God to intervene, for the miraculous hand of the living God to have an impact in the situations that He, by His wisdom and setup, is allowing to come to pass in the first place. Because you know why? Sometimes there's only certain ways... excuse me. Sometimes there's only certain ways that certain things can happen. And they may require some uncomfortable situations to take place in order to open up the possibility in the first place. So the children of Israel would never have survived had it not been that Joseph be sold into bondage by his own brothers. God knew. God knew what was coming. And so He allowed for and set up the circumstance and the situation so that Joseph could be right where he needed to be when the time came, when the decisions could be made that would influence the future and safeguard the nation of Israel and allow for all kinds of things to happen and take place over the next 400 some years, the liberation of the children of Israel, all of that was part and parcel of God's plan and purpose. But it's an uncomfortable situation, but it saved the nation. God has a way of always intervening and taking care of His people. But sometimes it'll require, brothers and sisters, that you and I do some things that may not be the most fun in the natural, but my gosh, what an impact on eternity and what an impact on God's plan and purpose for for humanity and for the kingdom. In this dimension, in this paradigm. So, encourage you guys to not look at the natural situation and to not let everything be determined by the way the worlders think. The scriptures already say God knows your needs. He knows them before you even ask Him. God knows what's going on. He's aware. And if you have a need, ask Him. Pray. Put things before Him. God has a way of intervening in an amazing way. But don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't let your spirit be perplexed by all the stuff that you see going on. Instead, and don't think like the worlders do, because they're going to melt down in short order. They're already melting. You know, don't let yourself think like the worlders think. rather allow yourself to be led and directed by the Spirit of the living God. When things come up, by all means, pray about them. And then trust, and then move forward. Because as you do that, you're going to see the hand of God. But you're also going to be able to be in a place where God can flow through, and it's not going. You're not going to be distracted, and your mind is not going to be in a spot where you're like the heathen, worried about all the stuff around, and not able to see, connect, or walk with the Spirit of the living God. So we know what we must do. So do it. Do it. God loves you guys. We love you guys. God bless you. Hey, drop us an email. FaithMix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you guys. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Know that all the stuff that's going on, it's just, hey, we live in incredible times, you guys. It's such a blessing. Such a blessing to be part of what God's doing right now. So don't fret, don't worry, rejoice. Rejoice, for God is with His people. Praise the living God. Alright, hey, all right, we'll catch up with you guys sometime soon. God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye.